Hi. This is the last one of our series on the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Does God lead us into temptation? Is that what this passage means? Well, if we compare it with a couple of other scriptures, it says in James 1, 13, and remember when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. But on the other hand, what about Matthew 4:1? Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Or Job chapter 1 and verse 6, where it says this: one day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and he stays away from evil. Satan replied to the Lord, yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You've always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You've made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence. So what are we to understand from this request in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, lead us not into temptation? Well, to tempt is to entice to do something. God will never entice us to sin. He will never entice us to sin. But God will allow in our lives trials that will test our faith and our obedience. We will be exposed to the enemy because we are in a battle. And we need to remember that. We are in a battle. We are in a battle of outside forces, the world and the devil. But we're also in a battle with inner forces, the flesh. And God will use all kinds of means to mold us into the people that he wants us to be. Remember at the beginning of this prayer, we looked at hallowed be thy name, and we reminded ourselves that God says, be holy as I am holy. And so he will use different situations, and he will use testings and trials that come along the way to make us like him, to make us holy. What will be seen of perseverance and obedience in our lives if we're never presented with choices? If we never have to choose between good and evil along the way? And that's what Satan pointed out to God concerning Job. He said, well, he's never had the choice. Everything's gone right for him. He has got everything. No wonder he's faithful. And so God allows Job to go through this time of testing. But you know, Job's wife, on the other hand, she tries to tempt him to sin. It says in Job 2:9, his wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. Should we only accept good things from the hand of the Lord and never bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. You know, the children of Israel were miraculously brought out of Egypt and brought out of bondage and were in the wilderness. And they grumbled and complained. So they spent 40 years in the wilderness, because when they were tested, lack of water, lack of meat, foreign idols along the way, they refused to obey this amazing God who had brought them out of Egypt, and they blended in, if you like, with their surroundings. They lost sight of who God was, and they treated God like the enemy along the way. And they never entered the promised land because of that. Because when testings came, they treated him like the enemy. Are you like that? When testings or trials come in your life, you treat God like he is the enemy. You know, when Nick Ripkin wrote his book, The Insanity of God, he wrote it about the lives of persecuted Christians around the world that he met. And he said this: I have never encountered a mature believer living in persecution who asked us to pray that their persecution would cease. Instead, the focused prayer of the persecuted is that they would be faithful and obedient through persecution and suffering. Light meeting darkness and not being snuffed out. What incredible prayer. To ask God to help them in their situations. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Help us to stay obedient when temptation comes. Keep us faithful in the times of testing. Help us not to give in to the evil one. It's a plea for the help of God in our daily confrontation with the temptation to sin. You know, somebody once said of Jesus' battle in the Garden of Gethsemane, obedience, staring evil in the face and defying it. That's what God wants us to do. Prayer, praying this prayer, is recognizing our own weakness. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. At the same time, we know we have a Savior who is strong enough to deliver us. Light meets darkness, and it isn't snuffed out. In this prayer, we are recognizing that Father God, our Father, Father God is amazing. He's awesome. He's able. He's enough. He's faithful. And he's forgiving. And we must also recognize that we don't just sit back and hope God will do everything. We've got a part to play in this. We can't say, lead me not into temptation, Lord, and do nothing to help ourselves. We can't ask for daily bread if we refuse to work for our material needs or spend time with God in his word for our spiritual needs. We can't ask forgiveness if we're refusing to forgive everyone else. And we can't ask to be led away from temptation if we take no responsibility for our own actions. So number one, don't seek out temptation. When Abraham and Lot separated because their families were so big, Abraham gave Lot the choice. He had a choice here of where he could go. And it says this in Genesis 13. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. So Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. He pitched his tents near Sodom, one of the most wicked cities on earth. What on earth was he thinking? And I want to ask you, do you do that? Do you pitch your tent near temptation? Just like Becky was saying in her talk before. Or do you remove yourself from it? Do you court temptation? Me, I can throw a great pity party. I really excel in this area. Begin to dwell on circumstances or hurts or disappointments. Then you move into vain imaginings. You embroider all of that. It sounds funny, doesn't it, when I'm saying it? But I tell you, it is not funny when I'm doing it. And then the tears can flow. No, that's the time to say, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Do not let me go there. And we need to recognize in our lives there are times we pitch our tents too near to Sodom. We need to move ourselves away. Don't seek out temptation. Let light meet darkness and not be snuffed out in your life. Do you know the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah joined up with three other kings? So there was a bunch of five kings here and a bunch of four kings here. And they decided to war against each other. And the five kings, including the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, they lost. And it says this in Genesis 14. The four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food. Then they went away. They also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions since he was living in Sodom. Isn't that amazing? He pitched his tents near and then he was living in Sodom. And that is so much what can happen in our lives. If you court temptation, the next thing you're in it. You're right in it. Don't ask God to lead you not into temptation if you're seeking it out yourself. Think of the things that you are prone to in your life. And we all have weaknesses in areas in our lives. And it's in those times when you're feeling weak that you say, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil or the evil one. Follow the example of Joseph. Day after day, that lovely man was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Day after day, she came at him, enticing him to sin. And in the end, he had to flee away. Even though he was falsely accused, it didn't work out for his good at that point in time. He didn't say, well, Lord, I stood for you and look, it's all going well for me. He was chucked in prison. And we need to understand that sometimes it doesn't work out well for us. But you know, he valued his relationship with the Lord. And I want to ask you today, how much do you value your relationship with the Lord? He didn't want to offend his God. Secondly, be disciplined in your attitude to sin. Don't be casual with sin. Be as vigilant as in the small areas as you are in the big areas. You might be able to say, well, I don't murder, I don't commit adultery, I haven't stolen. All of those things, you might be saying, well, I've never been tempted to do that, and I wouldn't go that way. Be as vigilant in those small areas, those little sins that you seem to never be able to get free of. You're always doing, because you think, well, it's only little. It's something that doesn't matter so much. When Daniel was taken to serve a foreign king in a pagan court, he was offered the best that that king had to offer. He was offered the best food and the best wine. And it would have been so easy to comply. It would have been so easy. He was an exile. He had been taken there against his will. And it would have been so easy with the others to just say, well, what can I do? How many times have we just said, well, what can I do? And go along with what's happening there. Go along with the crowd. Everyone's doing it. But you know, Daniel, it says in his book, says he resolved not to defile himself. You see, the food wasn't the food that the Jews ate. It wasn't kosher, if you like. And so very, very politely, He asked permission to eat veg. Come on, you know, you've got the whole spread there and you've got wine. And he says, please, can I eat veg? Because he valued his relationship with the Lord. He valued his relationship. So he even resolved not to defile himself. Get me R's and me D's mixed up. And we need to do that. So be disciplined in your attitude to sin. Don't be a crowd pleaser. I remember being a crowd pleaser when I was about 19. And the girls in work were going to a fortune teller. I know. Don't say what an idiot you were. I know. But I went along because they were all going out. Well, I didn't go with the girls in work. Come on, you come, you know. You're not going to be miserable, are you? Not come with us. I knew every minute of that time that I was sat in this spiritualist church that I shouldn't be there. I knew it was totally wrong. I didn't want to be there as I gave. I think it was a ring or something. You had to give to the woman while she said things over you, which you can't remember and I don't want to. But, you know, I'd pleased the crowd instead of not offending my God. Believe me, I have repented many times of that. I'm being prayed over, so you don't need to worry too much. But I was so sorry I gave in. And I think we've got to be so clear. Don't be a crowd pleaser along the way. And thirdly, don't let sin go unchecked in your life. If you've sinned, deal with it. With God's forgiveness comes restoration. So deal with it. When King David sinned with Bathsheba, he prayed for forgiveness. Psalm 51 is his whole prayer. Just give you a little taste of it. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. Deal with sin. If you have sinned, deal with it immediately. And then lastly, ask that the forces of evil may be bound. Deliver us from the evil one. The light of God might shine into the darkest places, whether it be in my life or in my area and where I am. And don't ask from a safe distance. Be prepared to confront. Be prepared to go and be light in dark places. We need to live and pray right in the place where the world is in deepest pain. God's kingdom needs to be birthed in us. We said as part of the prayer, your kingdom come. Well, your kingdom needs to come in my life, Lord, as well as in this world. Your kingdom come. Ask God to cause his kingdom to come in your life and then take it out. Then through us into the sin and the brokenness of this world. Let light meet darkness and the light not be snuffed out. Let us stand in the strength of God. We don't need to be overcome by the evil around. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one so that the light will overcome the darkness in my life, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my nation, and in this world. Lead me, Lord, not into temptation. Let me be able to stand in the testing times. Let me know that you are enough in every situation that I will face and that I will honor your name, that I will desire that I do you good in my life, that I will Hold fast and cherish my relationship with you, that I might not cause offense to you in anything that I do. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Amen.